This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to In the Black. Today, I'm very excited to talk about one of my favorite topics. As the head of marketing across all the companies, I love to strategize and try different things with all our brands. Actually, I guess head of marketing is not really my official title. That's Connor's title. So I guess I would be like marketing coordinator. I don't know. Anyway, involved in the marketing, put it that way. But I feel like I don't run it as much as I used to. Work very closely with an amazing team. And the team has been able to kind of expand and grow its content and what we've wanted to try. And so we've tried a ton of lead generation strategies over the last 12 months that we haven't explored before. And I think, you know, it is still one of the biggest things that gyms want to know about in terms of lead generation and how they do it. And so that is what today's episode is going to be all about. Before we dive in to lead generation strategies, which I know is a topic everyone wants to know about, I want to talk about two companies that support us in what we do. The first, obviously, is our platform in which we do all our billing, do all our payments. We sign clients into the gym, which is obviously now essential in the COVID environment, and that's Waterfy. They've been amazing through COVID. They've been supporting gyms far more than any other platform. Zen Planner and MindBody and all these other things, that they have not been supporting gyms like Waterfy has. Waterfy has been hosting webinars and different events with specialist gym marketing people and operations people to help gyms make it through this tough time. So you want to be on the side of a software platform that helps to support gym owners and really knows what gym owners are and who they are and what they want to do. These other companies, they spread themselves across all different industries, and they're just not that helpful. So one of the amazing things that they've done recently, Waterfy, is they've brought in Waterfy payments to Australian gyms, which just means now we're using Stripe instead of EasyDebit. If you've used EasyDebit before, you know it's horrendous. It's so bad, in fact, that I know Fitness First trainers have now moved over to Waterfy just so they can use Stripe.
Man, heaps of people in fitness use Waterfy. They don't even have gyms.
Yeah.
It's just a good way to do payments. I know a guy's doing like a stretching gym. He's like, I want to do Waterfy just because the payment system is so seamless. Also now, because of COVID, so many gyms have restrictions on numbers. Obviously, we do. And the actual booking system is amazing. There's like wait lists, reserving, all that type of stuff. We actually probably use Waterfy triple what we used before COVID.
Yeah.
So it is unbelievable. And if you use waterfy.com/MMP, you'll save like nearly $1,000 in your first year.
It's amazing. And they'll help migrate the whole thing across for you with their American team. So they'll stay up late. They'll help you migrate it across. They'll make it really easy for you. And last thing I will say about Waterfy that I tell you has been so impressive is I had obviously heaps of doubts with their app. So we really hadn't used it much, right, before the sign-in. The app is so good.
New app, Waterfy Athlete, is actually good.
It's amazing. You can put this function on. It's called Sync Calendar. So when people book their class, it goes into their Google Calendar automatically. I'll tell you what, when people are busy, these professionals, if it ain't in their calendar, they're forgetting about it. Yeah. But if it's in there, it's that psychological switch. It flips and they're coming to the gym, which is what you want. And then, of course, supporting the show today as well is AFS Brokers. If you are looking to sell your gym, if you're looking to potentially buy a gym, now is a great time. Obviously, when there's massive turbulence in the market, there's plenty of opportunity that comes up. Now, this could be opportunity in any way, shape, or form. You might be a gym owner that's like, hey, this is a great time for me to get out. I've been looking to exit for a while. I don't need tons of cash, or maybe I just need a little bit of cash for my next business. You have some other ideas. You want to free up your time. This is a perfect time to, you know, put on the market. And there are people out there who are trying to take advantage of this and look as an opportunity to get in. To look at, okay, maybe the gym market has shrunk, maybe some gyms have closed. Now there's an opportunity that's opened up for a better operator, for a better business owner to come in and find a bargain. So that can be you. It's pretty exciting. So if you guys are looking to sell your gym, if you're looking to just shop around and see what gyms are on the market, you can go to afsbrokers.com. That's afsbrokers.com. Elliot, the founder, one of our friends, obviously he also helped us sell one of our gyms recently, which was amazing. Elliot will, you know, if you speak to him, if you're involved in the conversation, let him know that you came through the podcast as well. Okay, cool. So we've got a few different styles or different strategies of lead generation to get into today. Now, before we get into them, I want to just quickly rant about in-house versus agencies. Now, obviously, one of the things about gyms is they know that they need leads. They need new customers coming in, and it's a whole different skill set to create to have lead generation. And it's a skill set that many gym owners aren't good at and don't want to learn. And I found that out the hard way. And there's so many different ways to generate leads that it can feel overwhelming. And tracking it and creating the content for it and knowing what's best and all the back ends of Google Analytics and blah, blah, blah. And so it's, sometimes it just feels easier. So rather than do this in-house, is to just outsource it to someone else. But the question is, who's the right agency? I'm getting smashed with Facebook ads all the time. All these different agencies, maybe is it an agency that's not in the fitness industry? Because there are lead generation agencies that are fitness industry specific, but maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I want a more proven ad agency. These fitness ones don't seem legit. Maybe I should try one outside. Maybe I should try one that generates leads for plumbing companies, that generates leads for real estate agencies, all this sort of stuff. And it's a hard question to answer. We have had a lot of experience with this. We have wasted a lot of money on agencies. Some good, some bad, but none amazing. If we thought they were that good, we would have stuck with an agency. Remember, the thing about an agency is at the end of the day, their incentives are not necessarily aligned with yours. They're just trying to get you leads, not sales. And there's a big difference between leads and sales, which means they could get you 100 people that have no interest in joining your gym or like a very, very mild interest. Or honestly, they could just trick 100 people into downloading some guide for you. And this person never going to be a good customer. And from a lot of the people that I've spoken to that have used agencies in the past, including ourselves, more often than not, the leads that come through or the prospective clients that come through from these different agencies are never any good.
Yeah, and I think where it gets misleading is you're comparing them to the ones you normally get. So you're like, oh, I'm a gym and I get, you know, 15 people inquire at my gym a month. And this guy is going to get me 50. Okay, the quality of those 50 is not going to be the same as the 15 that inquired. The 15 that inquired were like looking for your gym, found it, and inquired.
Yeah.
They're pretty keen to join.
Yeah.
The other 50 may have like never heard of you, don't have that much trust, maybe just saw an ad and put in their details. They're not really sure where your gym is. Turns out like it's not convenient at all for them. So when you're like doing the kind of thoughts in your head, often it's very misleading when you see that stuff. And you've got to totally flip it.
Yeah.
You might normally get 15, sign up half of them. You know, just be ready that you might get 50, sign up two.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, it's just different quality.
Yeah. And they're probably not going to be your best too. So of about 7 or 8 agencies we've tried, we would not go back to any of them. They've all been terrible. I'm not going to throw them all under the bus, but just so you know, we have tried nearly 10 agencies and they've all been bad. And so we've decided to use the in-house model, which is the more popular model for bigger companies. Obviously, agencies work because they do work out to be a little bit cheaper in some ways because they can do a lot because they're kind of scaling with their team. That's what they specialize in. But when you bring it in-house, you've got to kind of bring your own video guy and your own photo guy and then your own marketing team, and it gets more expensive. But the advantage of keeping it in-house is that obviously there's so much more control over the content and the branding and the style, because if you go to an agency, very unlikely they're going to 100% individualize it to your brand. They're going to use heaps of cookie cutter stuff and templates, which just doesn't feel right for your brand. And bring it in-house, you can really articulate your own message. Now, if you can't afford to hire someone in-house, unfortunately, the burden falls now on you to learn this stuff. And that's a responsibility that you have to take if you truly can't afford it. You have to learn some of these kind of lead generation styles that will come next. Now, there is quite a variety here that we're going to go through. And you might find that some are much easier for you and come more naturally to you than others. And so you may pick and choose different ones. And then later down the track, as you can build your in-house marketing team, like we have, you can actually, you know, explore more of the different types as you bring more expertise in. Okay, so the first one is social ads. So really, at this point, the social ads for most gyms is Instagram and Facebook. You're not really doing like TikTok and you're not really doing Snapchat, to be honest. It's not the right audience unless you're, I don't know, trying to sell a gym to like teenagers or something. But yeah, it's going to be social media, Instagram and Facebook. I'd say at this point, anyone listening that has a gym has probably tried these at some point, probably not to any sort of success. The problem is with Instagram and Facebook ads is they work really well, but for very short periods of time. Now, what I mean by that is because Facebook and Instagram are changing how they deliver ads, they're always changing the algorithm, they're changing the methods. It means that what worked yesterday doesn't work today, which just means it makes a very dynamic process. So in you know, one agency maybe cut its teeth on a very successful set of ads, but they weren't able to adapt to the new algorithm, and those ads don't work anymore. Or people are just sick of seeing the same ads.
It's not even just the algorithm, right? It's just like what you get used to seeing.
Yeah.
It's that type of photo with like the writing on the post. Like, you're like, oh, that's so fresh. I'm going to click on it. And once you've seen it 1,000 times, it doesn't hit anymore.
Yeah. And sometimes we did that. We were a bit late to the party. We used these templates that worked 2 years ago and they get zero leads these days. So that is one thing about that. But, you know, everyone is on Instagram and Facebook. So you can generate good leads from it. Now, I think that the best, or the companies that do best on Instagram and Facebook, are online businesses, the e-commerce. So for brick and mortar locations, I don't find them to be as effective. You can spend a lot of money on them. They're good brand awareness.
And part of the reason is just because you're trying to pull on a very small pool of people.
Yes.
Just people that live very close to your gym that are going to be able to come. So, you know, that restricts it so much. Whereas if you're looking at the whole country, or more than the whole country,
different countries, globally,
then you can, I guess, niche down more on the type of person.
Yes.
Because you really want a specific type of person. There's plenty of them in the world. There's maybe not plenty of them within 5 kilometers of your gym.
Yeah. So I think our experience with Instagram and Facebook ads has been pretty good. It hasn't been like the best lead generation source for us historically. But what it does is it does create what is called like audiences, right? Mm. So it creates people that are engaged in your brand. Now, whether you can walk them all the way through the funnel to get them to buy, or you can grab an email or whatever, they are the largest pool of people, and the best way to segment them is through social media, because there's so much data on them. I would recommend that at some point you are doing some kind of brand awareness campaign to create that audience to sell them later, or you're just trying. I would never try and sell directly on social media. That's probably my rule now. It does become a little bit harder, especially if you're a gym. Like, selling gym memberships directly online doesn't really work. Most people like to at least come into a gym. It's different if you're like an Anytime Fitness, because people know the brand really well. They kind of know what they're getting. They're happy to buy it online. They've seen it heaps of times, maybe even a Fitness First, but still, see, anything outside of the really, really cheap, you know, $11 a month gym membership, most people are going to want to meet you on site. So my recommendation would be, some brand awareness stuff is usually pretty strong on Instagram and Facebook. And then if you're going to try and draw them in, is like, try and get an email from them. Offer them some value for an email. And that's going to help your brand a lot more. It's going to give them content. It's going to put you in high regard rather than just selling directly to them. Cool. Next one. Now, this is a very recent one for us. LinkedIn ads. So LinkedIn is basically the social media for business people, for corporates. You can get some really engaging, really good ads, because the difference with LinkedIn and Instagram, Facebook is that the LinkedIn audience is way more niche down than a Facebook. Everyone uses Facebook, Instagram, even including the people that have LinkedIn as well. But when you are scrolling on LinkedIn, like, you are recruiting, you're like posting about your company, your jobs, like, all the content on there is like very business specific. There's no junk content on there. People put out really good, high quality videos. They put out really interesting, valuable articles. Like, I'll scroll through LinkedIn, and I'll probably only make it like 20, 30 seconds. I'm already in an article or a video. Whereas you can scroll a lot through Instagram and not stop for a while. So I feel like the people on LinkedIn are more engaged. Now, we've run some campaigns on LinkedIn, and they have been quite successful. The audience there is more expensive, but much more engaged. We've had some trouble. It's kind of a long-term campaign that we're running there, so it's not buy now sort of thing. But the audience there is very engaged. They're more expensive, but they're definitely very engaged. So my recommendation is, when you have the money, LinkedIn is one of those. If your client is a corporate client, it's a busy professional, or B2B, it's really good as well. I think even just starting with organic LinkedIn marketing is quite good, because remember, LinkedIn is sharing its algorithm is working very differently to Instagram and Facebook. So organic content is getting a lot more reach. So even if you can't spend money on there right now, if you have time to put into LinkedIn organically, like, we part of a business club, a local business club, they only use organic LinkedIn, and that's how they generate 100% of their leads, or like 90% of their leads online. All the others really come from referrals. So LinkedIn is their only online strategy, and it's only organic, and it works extremely well for them. So it does work. Cool. LinkedIn definitely does work. Okay, you were the first one to jump into this one, so I'll let you kick this one off.
Yeah, so third one, and this is taking it from the online into the offline. And that is just joining networking groups. So I would say that here, it's obviously the type of client you want is going to dictate the type of group you want to join. I mean, if you just use the broad name networking, it's like a group for everything, right? I'm sure there's like tradie groups out there. If you want like cashed up tradies coming to your gym, if you want specific types of business people, then there's networking groups for those types of business people. If you want mums, tons of mums groups, which I found out recently out there as well. For us, we're really looking for a pretty specific person. We like career-driven professionals, primarily at our gym, people that are like really, you know, ambitious with their career, moving on and up. So we're joining business networking groups, and that's been really good. What is great about that is, A, there's often a location-specific part of them. Very often, you just go to the one in your area. Good chance they work or live in the area. Mm. And that's like one of the biggest hurdles very often to come into the gyms. And then B, it's just a big opportunity that you can build a lot of trust, get people to introduce you to the right person who could be a good fit from the gym. And sometimes it's not members, it's just other opportunities that can come out of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you'll find about these networking groups as well is it's just a great way for you to kind of learn, I guess, it's like a way to interact with the leads that you have, like you're not going to sell straight away. Because if you think about how most gym owners are doing now, they're kind of waiting in their gym for someone to come through online. So their first interaction ever with someone is selling straight away. And this is a great way to just practice talking about your business, practice talking with leads and hearing their problems. It's like doing, in a way, lots of kind of really soft mini consults with people because they're like, oh yeah, what do you do? Tell me about your business. And so you get practice talking about, oh, this is what we do. This is who we help. This is what it's like. But without the pressure of closing them. And so I find it's a really fun way to kind of just gather like just data as I'm just sort of asking people questions and listening to them speak because they're our avatar. So, and look, they're in a way different point in the buying cycle than someone else. Mm. Like they're not interested in fitness at all. They have some interest in what you do, but they're not interested in buying fitness. They might do their own thing at the moment or they just have no interest whatsoever. It's still just an interesting way to just kind of go, okay, well, that person's interested in losing weight. Oh, that person actually only cares about being able to keep up with their kids. Oh, that person's interested in this. Or, wow, this person's really busy and this is what they do for fitness. That's interesting. And what's also really funny is how many of these people also don't work out. Yeah. Like you go to these networking groups, the vast majority of them aren't in good shape, but they can afford it. So I find it's a really interesting place to kind of hang out because I meet so many people that are interested in fitness, have money to spend on it and do have time, but yeah, it's not really doing anything about it.
Yeah, and I would say that it is directly correlated with how expensive the thing is you're selling. So the more expensive what you're selling is, if you're doing like big PT packages, then this is going to be unbelievable. Probably like your best strategy, right? Because you just don't need that many people. You're often selling yourself or one other person. It's going to be like a long-term relationship. So you really, it's really worth putting in the time because you only maybe need to close like one or two people a month and you've made it. Mm. If you're selling something like a $20 a week all-access gym membership, this is no point.
Yeah.
It's just the time investment is never going to work. Probably like an Instagram ad where you can get 50 phone numbers and work through it on your phone is going to be much more time effective.
Yeah. And then probably the last thing that about these networking groups, remember, these networking groups weren't always like a lot of them exist, not because you're trying to find leads or prospects. It's just because you want to elevate yourself by being around other savvy business owners. So maybe you never get a lead or no one ever from the group joins the gym. Very likely though, you'll be hanging around with other people that are in business that can share knowledge and just make you a better entrepreneur. So you may get other things out of it, which are beneficial, which aren't necessarily more leads at the gym. So that's another thing to consider. They have a lot of benefits there as well. Okay, so next one I've got here is PR. So PR is public relations. I think that's what it stands for. But basically, you hire a PR agency just to come in and put you in the articles, websites, other media outlets.
Yeah, I mean you don't really have to hire, but you can hire someone to help you PR. You can just do PR yourself.
You can.
Lots of gyms do it really well, or fitness people, and they just get themselves in other publications. So just be getting your local newspaper to write an article about you.
Yeah.
Or someone that's just got a space in a magazine. Hey, I'm just looking at the top like coolest gyms that have opened in my area, and that's like an article in a magazine, and that's PR for you. Yeah. So it's not like when someone looks at it, it's not an ad. Like it's the differentiation.
Yeah.
It's not an ad. It's going to be some sort of like media publication.
Yeah. So one that's worked really well for us is we didn't pay for it or we didn't set it up or anything. We're fortunate enough just by doing good business and being well known in the area, we got written up in one article from one website, which was the top five gyms in Bondi, and then the other one was like the top eight CrossFit gyms in Sydney. Mm. So those were the two publications. Now, these have been some of the most successful lead generating tools for us in the past. Now, we've had some other write-ups as well that haven't resulted in ads, but we have called quite a few people and they said, oh, this is how we found out about you. Top eight gyms in CrossFit or top five gyms in Bondi or whatever. So if you can get an opportunity to find a way to, maybe you want to invite the people down, a great way to connect is on LinkedIn or on Instagram. It's just like, hey, I'd love to, I see you write for this this media company. I'd love to invite you down to the gym for a free workout, or you and the team for a free workout. Or maybe you want to send them some content, be like, hey guys, I'd love to help contribute some content for you. This is what I do. This is my gym. No, you don't have to write me up or anything, but hey, like I see you kind of like a wellness brand. Here's some amazing stuff that I wrote about sleep and performance supplements or something. And they might go, oh, thanks for doing that. Maybe you want to do this. And just kind of get your foot in the door, be involved. And again, you can go to networking groups and find out there might be PR agencies in there that can help you out. And of course, we did talk about agencies at the start. PR agencies can be quite good here, but they also can be very expensive. Yeah. So if you don't have the budget for it, it's unlikely you'll be able to afford it. But
it's probably one you can do yourself. Just because, I mean, the skills to be able to get PR, they're probably skills you can acquire. Because it's mostly just around hustle and networking. We've seen lots of clients be able to pull it off. And often it's just like, you know, really might be a really good story about a client you've got. Maybe you've got like a crazy story, like a client that's overcome some unbelievable challenge.
Yeah.
And it's got results at your gym. Like that, you know, is something they're probably going to be like, amazing. You know, these people are always looking for content to write about. So if you can just make their life easy, I'm like, hey, here's like an article I've already written for you. It's a really good story. It'd be perfect for you. They're probably just going to publish it. So that's going to go well for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So the next style of lead generation you can do is Google Ads. Now, we haven't switched on our Google Ads for a while, but we did use an agency for this in the past. We did some of it in-house as well. We will be turning them back on again in the future because they are very good. But yeah, Google Ads is basically just, you're getting people in a buying cycle that are very ready to buy. That's probably the biggest difference between all the ads that we've just mentioned so far, is that you are going straight to the people that are like, hey,
searching for the gym.
I am looking for a gym right now. Where are they going? CrossFit gyms in my area, F45s in my area, personal training in my area, et cetera, et cetera. That is someone who is like pretty much ready to buy. So that is the reason it's more expensive, but that is also the reason it can be very good. The thing about Google Ads is, unless you're coming into it with quite a substantial budget to use, which could be, you know, $200-$300 a week minimum, it's probably not worthwhile doing. You'll just waste a lot of money because you'll just get out. How Google works is it's like a bidding system from what I understood last time. And so you bid for a ranking in the ads on certain search terms. And you obviously want like CrossFit in your area, right? Or F45 in your area, or personal training in your area. If you're bidding against Fitness First, you're going to lose every time. That's why you need quite a big budget. You can still appear in there for some people, but quite often you'll get, you just get outbid by people with more money. So that's why it can get expensive, but the leads that you get can be very good. I know that, you know, if you're ranking nice and high up there for people searching in the area, it's just natural to click on the first or second ad that comes up there. Now, I also do believe that there is some, and this is probably, I guess, another form of advertising, is SEO, which is kind of like organic Google in a way. So how you do SEO is you just write articles related to the topics and the search terms that you want, and you have all this stuff on your website, all this copy that you want people to search for. So it might be, again, personal training in my area. You would do lots of articles on personal training, and you'd use the keywords personal training, you'd use fitness, you'd use health, wellness, you'd use your suburb location. You'd use that a lot of times, and you'd put that all over your website, and that helps boost your organic Google search. So you want to try and get way up there for when it comes to because some people just skip the ads on Google. They just scroll past all the Google ads and they go to just the first organic link. You want to try and be that first organic link as well. So SEO would be another strategy to use there.
Yeah, and the only other one I've seen more recently, I think this looks like it's going to get much more popular, is just the Google ads on Google Maps. I'm just using that a lot recently. But if you're looking for gyms in the area now, almost always you'll see all the gyms, and then you'll see a few in purple, which are like ad gyms. And I think for some gyms that have the budget, it would be incredibly effective.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, final one, number seven, is influencer marketing. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, that is not what I want to do. This is not a strategy I would ever consider for my gym, or maybe I can't afford them, or blah, blah, blah. Look, influencer marketing is becoming... It's a thing. Like, it's a thing for everything. And no matter what you say to yourself, no matter what lies or stories you tell yourself about influencer marketing, it works, okay? Undoubtedly. But how can you use it for a gym? Because obviously, we all know it for supplements, right? We are influencers doing marketing, right? We're recruiting. We have brand partnerships that we work with, so we do it as well. And then we use it for our gyms because we know we get our partners really great results because you guys are an amazing audience. And so we want to do the same thing for our brands as well with our gyms. So fortunately, through the podcast, we've been able to generate quite a good network. So that's why guys like James Smith will come train at the gym and post about it, and some other influencers as well, Andrew Papp. But the point is, for gyms specifically, there is so many ways you can do it. Remember, the best thing you can offer someone is training. So before you ever reach into your pocket for a dollar, you can offer them an amazing training service. You can connect with all kinds of influencers in any way possible, and they don't even have to have that many followers. If you just find someone in your local area, it might even just be the barista at the local cafe that everyone loves, and he's got 2,000 followers, but heaps of people follow him because he's a good-looking guy, he surfs, he's like... well-known in the area. He gets people to follow him all the time. He posts cool content. If you just go to him, hey, bro, like, I don't know what you do for training or where you go training, but like, I got this awesome gym just down the road. You see me every day. Like, hey, how about you just come train for free? All I ask is that every time you come in to train, you just post about the gym and then just tag that you're in there. You have no idea how effective that is. That builds you such good reputation in your local community. So if you can find local people that are willing to train at your gym regularly and you can offer them it for free, even if they have it, man, if I had a completely different job, I wasn't involved in the fitness industry, but you know, I was staying engaged in my Instagram and stuff, and a really good local gym that had a good service I would pay for said, hey, you can just train here for free if you just like do a story every time you come. Hell yeah, I would do that. Of course. Oh, now obviously you don't want 15 of them because then you're training all these people for free and it's just like ruining. But having one or two of them can go a long way. And then eventually maybe they're kind of in the influencer space and they get a little bit bigger. And then as they grow, you grow, and then they talk to someone else, they introduce that person comes to the gym, and then maybe get access to a bigger influencer. It's like, hey man, I've heard about your gym, I think it's awesome. This person I know I'm friends with trains there. Look, I don't normally do this stuff, but yeah, you know, I'll do like half price on a post and come train here. And maybe you got some more money at that point. So you never know how it builds, but you want to keep yourself open to everything. And it's worked for us. We've gotten leads from influencers.
Yeah, exactly. And if you can find someone that I think is obviously more popular in your local area, it's generally going to be more effective, right? Definitely. If you can like seek out the right type of influencer. And if there's someone that, even someone really unrelated to fitness can be pretty good. Because then you're hitting people that are really like, man, I don't really get fitness info from anyone. Now I've got this one guy that I like telling me where to go fitness. Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, they're not cluttered by 100 different ads on fitness.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, that was a fun episode. I hope you guys got something out of that. There's a lot of ways to do this thing. And, you know, if some of them just seem like, you know, you open up the back end of Google and it looks like Chinese, then, you know, networking groups might be better for you.
Yeah.
You know, so the point is to be doing at least one or two of them. Okay. The point is if, and also the point is if some of it's not working for you, turn it off, stop using it or hire someone else or don't just keep burning money thinking, oh, well, people do Facebook ads and they say they work, but it might not work. Maybe it's just a matter of time.
Two of these things can easily fill your gym.
Easily. Easily. Well, we know for a fact that, you know, it's an 80-20 situation. Like, you know, from the 20% of that list there, you know, we get 80% of our results. But we like to do everything because it kind of, it's good experimentation. It's just good practice to try new things. But yeah, guys, keep trying, keep exploring different things. Hopefully, you got some ideas from that. And yeah, hopefully you guys can generate some awesome leads. And this, I think this is a great episode if you want to share it around for anyone that also struggles with lead generation. It'd be a good one for you guys to share and tag people in.
Awesome.
Okay, thanks so much and we'll speak to you guys next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.